Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
WFAN. Good Saturday evening, New York sports fans. Yes, I'm Danielle McCartan, and I'll be talking all things New York sports with you for the next, couple hours here up until 2 a.m. in New York City and beyond. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being part of it. Jack Carty and I are live right here in Lower Manhattan, 888-808-1019. Call me up and let's be part of the conversation because live from New York, it's Saturday night. Last night was primarily a baseball show. So the Mets and the Yankees, they gave us a fun ride into the postseason, right? Okay. A week 10 check-in. Will the Jets and the Giants too? What are the expectations for our football teams over the remaining couple weeks of the 2024 NFL regular season? That is the essential question tonight on this Saturday night in New York City. I'll take the Jets first. I mean, we'll just put it this way. The Jets have dug themselves quite a hole. Every game from here on out for the New York Jets is a must-win game. The New York Times, or is it The Athletic? I don't know which one it is, but they're both on the same website. Their calculator has the Jets right now at a 19% chance to make the playoffs. So you're saying there's a chance. You know what? I'm well aware. I'm well aware that this is not the popular opinion, and I'm not trying to be contrarian. Everything I say to you, I believe in. I'm taking the chance. Call me crazy. Call me overly optimistic. But I think the Jets will find a way to make it to the playoffs. Look, the division might very well be out of reach for the Jets to catch the Bills. It probably is out of reach. It definitely is out of reach, okay? So now you're looking at a wild card berth. And maybe this is just, more of a feeling than anything. But being in MetLife Stadium for Thursday Night Football, in the first half, the entire stadium was chanting, "Sell the team, sell the team," at different junctures. So we were sitting kind of behind the end zone. So on the left, they were chanting it. But at the right, they were on the word team while the other ones were on the word sell. The entire stadium was chanting sell the team, pretty much leading the Jets into the locker room for halftime and even before that. Fast forward to the second half, and what that second half looked like in that game was total night and day. It was almost like it was two separate games. I mean, the Jets showed up in the second half. They scored exactly 0 points in the first. And honestly, it really should have been seven because stupid-ass Malachi Corley, he dropped the ball before he even crossed the goal line. And guess who had him as an anytime touchdown scorer? Me. Yeah, that was a big cheer followed by a big crash immediately. I was so mad. But anyway, 0 points in the first half for the Jets to an explosion of 21 in the second half alone. And then flip the script, no touchdowns for the still AFC South leading Houston Texans in the second half. In fact, the Jets held a team that averaged 23.5 points going into that game to just 13. And if the season ended today, the Texans would be the number 4 seed. And the Jets beat them handily. Just in one half's worth of work. Again, you can color me overly optimistic, sucked back in, whatever you want to call it. But just the way that they played in that second half, you're sitting there in the stadium or on your couch or wherever you were watching or even listening to the game. The way that they played in that second half, it finally looked like it was, air quotes here, supposed to look like. And I think that game against the now 6-3 Texans, I think you might look back at that game and point to it and say, that game, that second half, was what turned the Jets' season around. Now, couple that with the fact that Tankathon has the Jets as the 5th easiest schedule remaining in the entire league. The combined winning percentage of the remaining opponents for the Jets, 435. That means the opponents only win 43.5% of the games that they play at this very moment. And at this very moment, there are only 2 teams on the Jets' schedule with a winning record that they still have to play. The Bills, of course, and tomorrow's Cardinals, which are barely above 500. Now, if the Jets beat the Cardinals, their chances of making the playoffs climbs to 35%. And right after the Jets got Davante Adams, you and I talked here about how I wouldn't put it past Aaron Rodgers to run the table. He's done it before. So why can't the Jets win, what, 7 of their last 8, finish 10-7? Because the way that they played in that second half gives me hope that they can make the playoffs. To me, it's totally doable. And I think they finally figured it out. It was very tumultuous to start the season, to say the least. But I think they finally figured it out. Better late than never. But never late is better. That's Drake. But you know what I'm trying to say. Call me crazy. Go ahead. And this could be very well ending up on Freezing Cold Takes. I understand. And this is not the popular opinion. But I think the Jets are going to make the playoffs. And I don't know what it is now. But last week, I put $5 at plus 390 for the Jets to make the playoffs. And you know what else, too? I was talking with Jack before the show started, and, you know, the Jets, what's their record? 3-3 and whatever it is.
They are 3-6.
3-6. Okay, 3-6 they are. Thank you for that.
Yep.
2 of the 3 wins are home, and the third one, one of them, is on the road. But what I'm trying to say is this. The Thursday night against the Patriots, the one that they won. The Thursday night against the Texans, the one that they won. Do you know who was in the building? Yeah, me. So here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking from this point on, I think the Jets should just send me tickets. Because clearly I'm the reason why they win these games. So I'll hop on a red-eye flight tonight. I'll head out to Arizona. You know, I'll take one for the team. I'm just kidding. I'm not begging for tickets. I'm not doing that. But I'm just saying that, hey, I just happened to be at 2 out of the 3 Jets wins. Just saying. Maybe they want me around more. I don't know. Now, the Giants. Breaking just a few hours ago. Is this actually a little glimmer of hope for the Giants? Dak Prescott, likely done for the season. He's going to see one more doctor here in New York. I don't know what day, but they're going to decide, ultimately, I think, to have the surgery on his hamstring. Okay. And they're just waiting on the opinion of this guy in New York. All right, fine. The Giants lost to Dallas with Prescott by 5 points. Does this open the door for a victory for the Giants on Thanksgiving? I mean, it could against the Cowboys. That's the last time they play them for the season. And I'm sorry to actually have to say it this way. But to me, the New York Giants are all but mathematically eliminated from playoff contention. I mean, That same New York Times Athletic calculation, yeah, they cite the Giants as having a less than 1% chance to make the playoffs. So it's going to take an actual miracle for the Giants to make the playoffs. The Giants needed in the worst way to beat the Commanders last week to keep any glimmer of hope alive. And the defense, devoid of any talent outside of the guys in the trenches, the defense let that team down. With an honorable mention to the coach. We'll talk about that in a second. It's a sad state of affairs for the Giants, unfortunately, again this season. So at this point, you sit back and you tune in at 9:30 in the morning to watch this stupid international series game. And you just sit there and you're like, all right, let's just look for some, you know, development over the next couple weeks. Development from the rookies. Development from the play calling abilities of the head coach who is going to be back next season. I almost want to slap 100% label on it. And you also hope that all of the players, you know, play out the next couple weeks and end the season with their health intact, of course. That's where the Giants are at right now. And man, that first go for two late in the game last week against the Commanders in a crucial, critical game. What was Brian Daboll thinking? The Giants still had time to get the ball back, and they did. They scored, and then they were forced into the subsequent two-point conversion attempt. Both were unsuccessful. And Daboll defended the decision after the game. He said, on like two fronts, he said he liked the play call, which was ridiculous because if you go back and look and freeze frame, which they did on the broadcast, Daniel Jones had not one receiver open at all. And the second half of that was he said, Daboll said that the decision to go for two was analytics-based. He used that phrase. Now, I'm no computer scientist or I'm not any of these titles. You know what I'm saying? But I have to question that the Giants haven't converted a two-point conversion all season long. Where does that factor into the head coach's decision-making? Where does that factor into the analytics model that the Giants are operating with? It's like they went from Dave Gettleman, who didn't know how to turn on a computer, to this overly analytics nonsense. And now to Joe Shane, who I have trusted through everything to have a vision for this team. I'm not sure anymore, man. You know, we'll talk chronologically, going backwards. I fully expected Azeez Ojulari to be traded by this past week's trade deadline. He is, at season's end, an unrestricted free agent. Get something for him. Teams were calling about him. This defensive unit is not what they would call close. So you get what you can for him. You start to stockpile some draft assets. Unless, of course, the plan is for the Giants to offer him a new contract. But that on the open market, I mean, it sounds like a price drive up to me. And again, the Giants defensive unit is not close. I would stay away. Joe Shane messed up there. I don't understand it. And also, letting Xavier McKinney, one of the captains of that Giants defense, just walk at the end of last season might have been the biggest mistake. This unit is in shambles this year. And breaking just a little while ago, Evan Neal, who I forgot was even on the Giants, kidding, he's going to be starting tomorrow morning's game. Evan Neal, Joe Shane's first round pick as Giants GM, has been, when he's actually on the field, just atrocious, a liability, disastrous. Any adjectives or nouns that you want to put in there, he is that. How bad? Well, The Giants are starting him at right tackle tomorrow. They're moving Jermaine Illuminor to a position, left tackle, that he has never played in his entire 8-year professional career. Illuminor has not missed a single snap this season. 100% he's in there, which is great. So maybe the Giants' line of thinking is this. Okay, well, in the absence of Andrew Thomas, who is or was their best offensive lineman, let's put our best lineman in at left tackle to help the blind side of the quarterback. Now, maybe that's the thought process of the Giants. Makes sense, I guess. But Illuminor has expressed it since he's been doing so well at right tackle, he doesn't want to move over. I mean, tough, right? I guess. I mean, tough. But what a backup plan, Joe Shane. How about that depth on that offensive line, Joe Shane? And I know the Giants won't actually say this, but I'm going to. I think the alignment of the Giants line for tomorrow's game is more of a conviction or a stance on the, I'm going to use the term loosely here, the abilities of Evan Neal. They stuck him on the right side of the line, Evan Neal that is, because they don't trust him. That's what I think. I think the Giants, with their schematical blueprints for the construction of this offense, rolled him across the table, opened him up, and said, we cannot put Evan Neal on the blind side of the quarterback. So we have to stick him on the right side of the line because we don't trust him. That's what I think the conversation was. And if he were on the left side, if he were on the blind side, the quarterback, whether it's Jones or DeVito or Luck, the quarterback might be leaving Germany in a stretcher if Evan Neal is on the blind side, on the left side of that line. And I know I'm being facetious here, but I think they should have started him at the position he can least possibly mess up, right guard. He won't even be on the quarterback's blind side. He won't even be blown up on the edge, snap after snap. I can't continue to watch that because I'm sure that Evan Neal packed his roller skates in his equipment bag. They put it through TSA pre-check, got through customs in Munich, Germany, and he's going to lace them up for tomorrow. Evan Neal is going to be on roller skates tomorrow. You watch. So don't forget, and this is circling back to Joe Shane now, in 2023, just last season, the Giants allowed the second most sacks, 85, in NFL history. Think about that. As long as this league has been around, as many teams have that play their games in this league, the Giants have allowed in last season the second most sacks, 85, in NFL history. Then they fired their offensive line coach, Bobby Johnson. I mean, historically bad. But again, Joe Shane, where is the talent? Where is the investment in the offensive line? My philosophy, as you well know, is you need to build the team from the inside out. And I have defended Joe Shane all throughout his tenure here. All throughout. Even Brian Daboll. I've defended them both. They have a vision. They have a plan. They're the quarterback whispering duo. But this certainly does feel like an inflection point in this Giants season and in their careers here in New York / New Jersey. And I have to say,
your official station to talk Jets.
I am starting to lose
faith. Not that. We weren't saying that.
No. I am saying that I am starting to lose faith in the plan and in the vision of the Giants general manager. So to go back to the essential question at the top, and yes, we are the network to talk Jets and to talk Giants, and you can call me up at 888-808-1019. But to go back to the essential question to start this off, let me channel my inner Jim Mora here. You know what? Actually, let Jim Mora do the talking. Go ahead, Jack.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Yeah, and that's where the Giants are at this point in the season. 888-808-1019. I'm Daniel McCartan. He's Dexter Henry with a quick update for you here on The Fan.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.